Okay, good morning, everybody. We will start. So today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to try to focus on how to kasher a kitchen for Pesach. Now, there's many shurim about this, and anybody can go to several different places to find practical advice of how to do it. What I want to try to achieve this year is to learn a little bit the background of where all the discussions come about regarding the different items that we have in a kitchen. And then obviously we'll go through some items that we do have, but by learning the background, we'll Be'ez Hashem acquire some of the tools and knowledge that we need to know in order to understand what exactly are the debates and discussions regarding kasher in the kitchen of Pesach. So we'll start with the Gemaras. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Hem with Beis talks about the using a kli, a vessel of a goy. So the Gemara tells us, right here, I shared my screen. I hope everybody could see it. Everybody could see the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, number one on the page, on the right side, the Gemara says, Lokeach kli tashri shavit kachofim. Someone takes a vessel from a goy. The goy never used it. We know that we do it every day. We just put it in the mikvah and you're good to go. Big debate now, what do we do in the mikvah? If you have an issue with the virus that we have today, we're not going to go into it today. But if the goy used the vessel in cold, he used cups or different type of plates, so the only thing you need to do in order to make it kosher after a goy used it is medichon umadbilon memtoyim. You wash it, put it in the mikvah and the tar. Dvarim sheishtash b'malde chamin. If you use it for hot, kegon ayoyrois hakokumusim umecham echamim. Any types of things that you heat up water with it, madbilon memtoyim. Magisor magilon umadbilon memtoyim. You put it, make hagala, and then you do adbal memtoyim. What's hagala? We're going to learn soon. That agala basically means you put it into hot water, hot boiling water, which is on the fire. Or if you use it with fire, you're going to shibudim vaskalos, meaning type of grates or things that you're using on the fire, like when you grill things on the fire. Then the din is milabanum. You use it with fire or matbilim entire, and then you put it in the mikvatorium. So what is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us it really depends how you use it. If you use it with cold, you machshir it with cold. If you use it with hot water, you mash it with hot water. If you use it with fire, you mash it with fire. That's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us over here, that's the Gemara that hit on hand with base. The Gemara that involved, Amud Aleph, that Amud Beis, number two in the page, gives us already the rules how to do it. Of Yatkama Labna, Milabna basically means putting in the fire. Omaramani Achetoshet Liposom, until the top layer goes away. Now here, we're going to see in a moment that for us, the Yerushalmi tells us that it really means it gets very boiling hot till some sparks of fire come out of it, which really comes out when anytime you grill something on the fire, the metal has sparks of fire coming out of it. The Ketzah Magil, how do you do Agola? Omaravuna Yerektano Betoich Yoyra Gdoilo. You take a small pot and you put it into a big pot. The big pot is full of water, you put the small pot into it. Then the Gemara says, "Yer gedoy lomai." What do you do with the big pot? Says the Gemara brings the whole story. The Gemara says basically you fill up the pot with water and you let the water overflow into outside the pot. That's what the Gemara tells us. And the Gemara concludes the last line over here, which is the very important line that we need to know. The last line over here, the way it's swallowed, that's the way it takes out. That's how you take out the iser, what's in there. The Gemara brings it as an example. So this is the Gemara in the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah telling us how to machshir a kli that you got from a goy. The Gemara tells us in Psachim, you look at number 3, the Gemara tells us this is a very similar rule regarding Pesach. The Gemara tells us, Omelei Ravina L'Ravash, Ravina Tol Ravash, Hani Sakini, if you take a knife, a pisach, and Pesach, Hechei Avdin Lu, what do you do? Omelu L'Didi, says, for me, Chadidokavdin, I buy new knives. I don't do anything with it. Omele teinach mar de'efshele. That's good for you, that it's for you, it's very easy to do it. De'efshele, someone does not have money and it's very difficult for him to buy new knives, what do you do then? My omele, ano kein chadidokavdin. Just make, don't have to buy new. You just make it as if it's new. Kitayi betino, you cover the handle. We're not going to go into that. That's the Gemara's thing, which we don't do today. Upar zelayu benu, you put the knife in the actual metal in the fire. Then you put the handle into the hot water. The Gemara concludes, you put it in hot water. The last line of the Gemara is again the same idea we're doing the Gemara of the Zohar. The same way you use the kli, the same way you use the vessel, that's the way you're able to take out the iser from it. As Rashi says over here in the left side, right next to the Gemara, the same way you use the kli, that's the way you take it out. Right? So these are the rules where the Gemara of the Zohar tells us that's how you do it in by a goy. The Gemara of Pesachim equates it to there, and the Rif, which we don't have here on the page, puts it together. The Rif and Gemara of Pesachim brings is quoting the Gemara of the Zohar to tell us that really all the rules that we learn in the Zohar apply over here. The only exclusion obviously is you don't have to do tefillah, you don't have to put it in the mikvah. So that's what we have over here. The way you use the kli, that is the way you need to do heksher. So if I used it on the fire, I have to do heksher on the fire. If it was a pot with water, you have to machshir the pot in water. If you use it in a different way, or the klisheni, you do cliche. What is a cliche? We should just to summarize things that we learned really in the past. Kli Rishon means a pot on the fire. So if you dig a pot and you have water and you put the pot, let's say a pot of soup on the fire, that's called Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon means the first vessel. First vessel means the first vessel closest to the fire. So the way you makshir it is first vessel. You put it on the fire. Meaning you boil something on the fire. So if, I think as the Gemara brought us here an example, if you use a pot, a small pot to cook in its soup, you put it into a bigger pot, which is on the fire, because that's the way you used it. You used it on the fire, you used it by boiling water on the fire, you put it into a pot that boiling water on the fire. Klisheni means that you did not use it on the fire. You use it as a second vessel. So the classic case is, you have a pot of soup, which you poured directly, I'm saying purposely directly, but you pour directly into another, a bowl. The bowl is a cliche, bipashtis. What does it mean, cliche? It's the second kli. It's not on the fire. It's the second kli. So how would you machshir that kli? The same way, you don't have to put it on the fire. You just do it by using water of cliche. The Tosis over here in Shabbos, a very important Tosis, number 4, tells us one more thing we need to know. We use this concept in Tosis also in Shabbos, also regarding all the Yisurim. Tosis tells the following. What happens when you're pouring from a pot into a kli? You're pouring from one thing to another thing. Is that kli rishon or that kli sheni? Kli rishon is on the fire. Kli sheni is the bowl who receives the water. What happens when you pour directly from kli rishon into kli sheni? So I just said an example that you're pouring from the pot of the soup directly into the kara. This is what Tosfos is really talking about. How do you treat it? So he brings you 3 shitas. Number 4 via the iruk cliche. Iruk, even though you poured it directly from klirisha, it's cliche. Because we always learn that the bottom one is stronger, so you look at the receiving kli. Uliri nira the iruk klirisha. Ri says no. When you pour it, it's a klirisha. Now Tosfos concludes out. It was vinire. That's what Pascal Loch Lemaise. The iru loya the kli rishon velo kli sheni elam vashika de klipa. So Tosfos is telling us all here that there's 3 levels. There's kli rishon, which is on the fire, kli sheni, which is not on the fire. There's the middle one, which is anything that was poured directly from a kli rishon. Anytime something was poured directly from a kli rishon into something else, then it has a middle status. Not kli rishon, not kli sheni, but irui. Irui means pouring. It's a middle thing. That's what Tosfos tells us. And which means it doesn't have the level of Kli Rishon, it doesn't have a level of Kli Sheni. something in between, which it does require kedei klipo. Kedei klipo means a peel, size of a peel around it, that becomes a problem. So that's what Tosis tells us over here. So you have kli rishon, you have kli sheni, and you have something in the middle. Now, if you look over, we look over here in the number five over there on the page. Again, just learning now the rules of what we have. Always, the way we used it, that's where you mash it. Now we learn we have a kli rishon, we have a kli sheni, one on the fire, one is receiving it, and one in the middle. Now there's another thing which the shach brings in Yeridil, which means that's called a dover gush. What's a dover gush? A dover gush means when you have something which is not a kli rishon, meaning, but it's something that wasn't a kli rishon and it is a big piece of piece, one solid piece. So a person takes a piece of meat, which was cooked on the fire. That's a kli rishon. Let's say even a soup. You have meat that was cooked in the soup. You pick up that piece of meat and you put it into a plate. How do you consider that piece of meat? You would think it to be, it's not anymore in kli rishon, it's a kli sheni. It's not on the fire anymore, now it's a kli sheni. The shach in Yeridah tells us no, because it's a solid piece of meat, it retains the status of kli rishon. Look at number five over here, this is the shach. Shtei amayim b'chei kli rishon, das ma'ashal b'yisuvet ha'shaloi, b'sifri kot ma'ashal, perkal basar. The dover gush means a solid piece, kegon chatichas basar, a dog, like a piece of meat or fish, or oiriz, or even rice, a doichon, type of rice. The ma'ayim chom, the gder, goes straight from the gder to the pot, from the pot to the bowl. Imayat, so the boy, if it's very hot, dinu lo'oilu kekwisha, as dinu kekwisha. And the Mogen Avraham in Hilchus Pesach says we are machmir like that. If you look at the Mogen Avraham number six, v'nirili dim nishpach mikli sheni al tzoinen en la'achmir klal kol shekhen la'achmir betalir. Leave that alone. Ach kesheniko lehem chatichas basor roteach bekaro. You took a piece of meat from a pot. Yesh la'achmir, because he brings the shach that tells us a problem. So now we're learning over here. We just learned kli rishon, kli sheni. We have irud and we have a gush. A solid piece retains the status of kli rishon. So these are the rules that we learn, and now we'll go with it to learn the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at number seven of the page, that's a Shulchan Aruch Siman Tav Nun Aleph. We'll learn different pieces of it as we go through the Shir. We'll start with Seif Hei. Seif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the rule that we just learned. Keilim shishtamesh b'em b'cham. Anything you use with that, kifi tashmisha nechsherim. The way you used it, that's how you machshir it. In tashmisha bikli rishon, if you use it on the fire, kegoin. We bring an example. Kaf shemegisim boi begder. A spoon that you mix with it, the kli. You mix with it the pot. So you have a pot with soup, you take a spoon and you mix it. The spoon now is on the fire. And you're on a pot which is on the fire. Tzorich lachshirim bikli rishon. The hechshir needs to be done in kli rishon. In tashmisha bikli sheni. What happens if the tashmish is in a kli sheni, which means not on the fire, but was poured from the fire to something else? Hechsherim b'kli sheni. Then you do hechsher with kli sheni. The kli shushtavishim boi b'irui. But what are you doing? You're pouring it. Shemarim b'kli rishon. And you pour it from the kli rishon to the kli sheni. Loisagili b'hechsher kli sheni. It's not a kli sheni. El tzoich laharois olam kli rishon. You have to pour it for kli rishon. That's the shalom we just learned. Now, here the Ramah tells us that's all if you don't have cracks in it. But if you have cracks, and your chesh, the chametz went into the cracks, then you need to go and do it at a higher level, which is libum, which we'll get to in a moment. So that's the basic idea in the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the next sefer, the Shulchan Aruch, called Kli Oilchin Bo Achar Roiv Tashmisha. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us we go based on Roiv. Hilchot Ke'orus, when you have a bowl, sometimes you put it on the fire, leish. Not our bowls, but they used to have metal bowls that sometimes you put on the fire. You go based on the roif. The roif of the usage of it. Says the Ramah, so this is a very important halacha, and this is where we start going lamaisa in our kitchen. When we have something, then usually you use it in a one way. But sometimes you use it a different way. Are you machmir or not? The Shulchan Aruch tells us you go based on the roif. Says the Ramah, we don't do that in Pesach. In Pesach, we're machmir. So for example, when you have, the Ramah himself goes up, gives an example. You have a spoon. You could say, one second, the spoon, I usually use it to eat soup. So therefore, my most of the tashrish is maybe klisheni, maybe even less than that, maybe even klishlishi. Maybe it's not even the third bowl that comes out of the fire. Says the Rama, we're machmir, we do not go based on how you use it usually. But if sometimes you put the spoon into the pot, you have to consider it to be a more chomer diktin. That's what tells us here the Rama. Now this is that's why when we have when we have, for example, cups, we use cups. What do you use the cup for? So sometimes many people use their cups for cold drinks. They use a cup and usually put in their, soft drink. They put in their Coke and they put in their Sprite and they put in cold water. But once in a while, they use that glass cup to put in their tea. Let's say their regular teacups are something that they're not going to be using. It's not available, so they're going to use the cup for tea once in a while, even though it's a very rare thing. You have to be machmir, therefore, to treat it as a hot thing, and therefore you need to do agava. That's why when we have cup, anything that you use sometimes this way, you have to have it. Now we have the going to that. Speak about cups. I have to remember that cups, we're not talking about glass cups. Why? Because glass cups, many hold that you can be machshir. If you look at Tziv Chavov over here in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Baal Shulchan Aruch, says the Shulchan Aruch, kli schuchis, if it's glass, filu machnisem nekiyo filu shtashir b'chami ein tzerim shum echshir, sh'ein aboy lo mishtir v'am sakilu. Shulchan Aruch is meikl b'kli schuchis, tezin in Agola. Hagol, says the Ramah, v'yesh machmir, so a machmir, v'oyim di kli schuchis afil agoda lo yman ilu. You can do agola with glass. So our glass cups they use for tea, you cannot do agola for it. And because we're machmir, for every time you do it, you don't do agola, you don't put glass into, you don't machshir the glass, and therefore it's a problem to use glass cups for Pesach. I just got a shiloh this week. Someone asked, he has these goblets of wine. They never ever use them in hot. Never, because it's meant for wine. You don't put hot things in wine. So then the question is this, but we're machmir, if once in a while you put hot into it, you will treat it that way. So what happens with something when you never put into it hot? Should I be machmir or not if it's a kli sluchis? So here the points can bring, which Shmuel Kamensky says in the Sefer, something that which is basically never used with hot, you treat it as a tzoinin, even though we say that sometimes if you use it once in a while, it's a problem, that's something which, let's say a regular glass cup, which sometimes someone will put tea into it or coffee into it. But to have something which is never used, like a wine goblet, then you don't use it as hot, you don't treat it as hot, treat it as cold, which really does not eat a golo. All it needs to do is to wash it and put it and use it that way. So basically things are, they were never used in hot, you could do a bidyevit, they call it. If you have no other choice, you could just wash it and use it. But the minig is that things are there if you're able to. So you either have your own kalim for Pesach, which really that goes back to the Gemara in Pesach in the Rulun number 3, that you try to have new. But if you can't, you try to do a gola on the things that you could do a gola. You can't do a gola on glass, but you do have a gola on kalim. So this is really what we have over here. When we speak about a regular, simple agolas kalim, like for example, when we're talking about the bechers of that you use for Kiddush. The Becher is used for Kiddush, you never use it for hot. Nobody puts hot tea into a Becher. But still, we are machmir because maybe somebody's going to have that you're going to use hot into it. So we're machmir to do a gola, anything that you're using for food, if you could do a gola. Again, glass, you can't do a gola, so there, if you have no other choice, there's more to be makel. But if you're talking about a metal thing, for example, the Becher, you should do agola. So how do you do agola? You put a pot, which is, you put a boiling pot on the fire, and you put the becher into that. After the water boils, you put the becher into it. Very simple. That's a simple agola that you could do. Now, there is, when you're doing the regular agola, you have to remember, this is the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafnun base, which is 11 over here on the page. I was planning to do it maybe a little later, but now we're mentioning agola, just go straight into it. He says that the Ramah brings it in Sif Beis, You never do agola if something is within 24 hours of usage. So whenever you do agola scaling, you make sure that these vessels were not used within the last 24 hours. Even though you use it for cold, you try our best not to use it within 24 hours. If you take a becher of Shabbos, try to do agola 24 hours after Shabbos, you usually don't use it then. You put it into the pot of hot water, and that's good. One more halacha we're going there, says the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Gimel, don't put a lot of kelim together. Why not? Because, as the Ramah says, if the kelim are touching each other, if you put several forks and several knives into the pot, and they're touching each other, they may cover the air, some areas, and they will not have a real agola. They will not have here real boiling water touching the whole kli. So therefore, you need to make sure to have some separation. So one simple idea is you take a basket, a large basket, you put in there the forks and knives, separate from each other, and then you put that into the hot boiling pot of water, and you have over here a regular, simple hagol. So that's the first stage of hagol. If you need to do a kli, the ikar din is to do based on roiv tashmishai, but we're choshish always for a mute, or it means we're choshish even if you use it for a little bit for hot, and then we do a goal for anything that you use on Pesach, including bechers, forks, and knives. If you want to use, if you're not buying new, you put it in, you do a goal for it. Glass, you can do a goal. And if it's something you never use for hot, ever, so then there is moka to be mekel b'di'evet. One important thing to know, just to mention it before we go on, is the reason we go on roiv is a chumras. The Taz tells us number 8 in the page, right side of the page, the Taz says, it says people will not get known to differentiate. When do you use it for kli rishon and when not? Someone will look at a spoon and say, the spoon maybe I use it more for eating than for mixing the soup. So therefore, we're always machir. But because it's a chumrah, so in the cases where there is a very important need, and a person doesn't have any other way to do it, there is mokah to be mekel, and everybody should ask his own rav. When it comes to a case, there's something you use it for hot, but usually you use it for cold, and a person is stuck before Pesach, doesn't have a way to do it. So that's regarding a simple hagola. You take a kli, you put it into the pot, and you're done. When we're getting to the kitchen, the first thing that comes about is we speak about counters. The counters of the kitchen, something that you use usually during the year. How do we use the counters during the year? So the pashtus, what we use the counters for, is to put on the counters pots and pans. Sometimes you put on it very hot pots on it. So the worst you're doing is you're putting a kli rishon on top of the counter. So if you're putting a kli rishon on top of the counter, we learned what is the haga'ala they need to do when you put a kli rishon on top of the counter. It will not be more chamor than iwri. What's iwri? Iwri is you're taking a kli rishon and you are pouring from the kli rishon into kli sheni. So here you have things from the kli rishon going onto a counter. It's basically either things are being poured from the pot to the counter, or the actual pot is being sitting on the counter. In both cases, we're talking about it's only a pot, it's not food yet. Then iwri should be enough, meaning pouring hot onto the counter should be enough. The issue is that sometimes you put food on the counter. And as we learned in number 5 and 6 in this page, food, if it's a solid piece of food, it retains the status of kli rishon. So then what do we have over here? You have the counter being used not only to hold pots, and not only to have things that are spilling from the pot, which means gives it a level of kli sheni or iwri of kli rishon, but you actually have sometimes the counter is considered to be a kli rishon because it holds pieces of meat or pieces of fish or pasta or any solid piece of food which was cooked retains the heat of kli rishon. You put it on the counter. So therefore, there is a chumrah to treat the counter as a kli rishon. If you treat the counter as a kli rishon, how do you mash it? You can't put the counter into a pot of hot, boiling hot water. Now, to take a boiling hot water and pour the pot onto the counter, that's not kli rishon, that's iwri, that's pouring. So pouring is good enough if you use it for pouring. But if I use the counter for salad, salad is not considered to be, it retains kli rishon as if it's on the fire. So I use it on the fire. How do you machshir a counter if I don't have, if I can't do, if pouring is not enough? What do you do then? That's the issue that you have with a countertop. So the regular counter. So so let's learn first of all what, how do you do when you what are the other ways to do hagol? We said you put a pot on the fire. That's number one. You fill the pot on the fire. That's one way. Now we learned in the Gemaras that we saw before that if you have a something to use on fire with fire. So the way you do it, you put it into the fire. This is the Shulchan Aruch, going back to Shulchan number 7. If you look at Seif Dalet, Shulchan Aruch tells us, Keili shishtam shim b'em ledea or, things you use with fire, kigun shipudim, baskalos, keitzabem, shuiz, the things you grill, let's say you grill or you put on the fire. Tzuchim libun, you need to put it in the fire, mamish. Fa'a libun et you need tzaytzayz, need tzaytzayz, tells you, man, that's the Yerushalmi you mentioned, you need to have sparkles of fire coming out of them. Says the Ramah, some say that if it's hot enough, shekash nisraf olov ibachutz, that if you put on it a very soft piece of straw, it will get burned. Meaning the metal will get so hot that if you put it in straw, it will burn. So the metal is very hot. That's good enough. V'nayi yisrael yishayim cholodavah shedimit b'libun, adon shedimit agolak shesh bezdakim, shachmir lab noisak b'libun kal kazeh. So what the Mishnah and Rambam are introducing over here is that there's two levels of libun. Quoting here the halachic definition. We have a libun chomer and we have a libun kal. Libun chomer means things are literally on the fire. Meaning you take something and you burn it with a fire. Libun kal means it just gets extremely hot. That's the difference. Libun chomer, libun kal. Now, when you get something extremely hot, that's called a libun kal. Meaning you don't have actual fire, but it gets very, very, very hot. That's what's called libun kal. The one way to do things, libun kal, to create this thing called libun kal, is a something called even melubun. Even melubun means if you take a piece, the original even melubun, means you take a piece of a stone or a brick and you heat up the brick so much, you heat it up until it literally is boiling hot. And you put that on any surface that needs to be cleaned. And then you pour water on that even melubun. What is the water? Well, the water, when it touches the even melubun, the water will boil. That is considered to be a libun kal. Mimele, whenever you have a surface, that you need to clean the surface, and the surface is requiring us to have more than iruri, more than pouring for kli rishon, you can use the trick of even melubun. Even melubun means you take a hot piece of a hot brick, and you put water on it, and it retains the heat like a kli rishon. If you look at, we can get in a moment how we do it today. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah number 9, the Mishnah Berurah basically speaks about counters. So he says the following. He says, if you kufi dalit, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mari you pasik the lumiani ear is not enough to pour. The problem we mentioned before. Sometimes you put it in a hot piece of food. It's as if you use kli rishon. So how are you going to do it? Says the Mishnah Berurah, yachshim the even melubon. You take a hot brick. The yishpoich olav roichim, and you'll spill on it roichim. And then he will move the brick somewhere else. And then the hot water spills all over. Even though the water is not so hot, it will get hot from the brick. Then you can put it in, and you just do iri. So the Mishnah Berurah is telling us this idea of the iri. Meaning, if I want to really make the counters kosher 100%, you need to make sure that you're doing a kli rishon on the counters. How do you do the kli rishon on the counters? The way you do the kli rishon on the counters is by putting an even melubon, which means you're putting in this very hot brick, and you're pouring it in water, and then you have very hot water on the counters. That's what he says. Today, the easy way to do it is basically to use an iron. Because the way is, you take an iron, which or a hot steam machine, and with that, you're creating what the Evan Malubin does. What is the Evan Malubin doing? It's boiling the water. So if I had to get iron, and I'm ironing the entire counter, what I'm doing is, I pour water, and then I iron. I put water, and then I iron. What I'm doing is, I am boiling the water on the counter. That is the way that people do if you want to be machshir the counter on Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah adds one more thing when we in Kuftes Vav, Roitchim. You need to cover it. After you do the Iwer, you have to cover it as well. Maybe some chametz will stick to it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in those days, when you have a surface, there were some cracks in it. And maybe the chametz are in the cracks. So here comes another point regarding the counters. A, the counters need to be, obviously, when you do an ear, you have to do it, you have to use that very hot brick in order to create this hot water. Now, do you need to cover it also? So Shabbat says if you have cracks in it, you should cover it because it's not enough. But when it's a flat surface, like our counters look like, so then you do not have to cover it, says the Mishnah Berurah, because by putting the hot water is good enough. So this is the Iker thing. So let's just summarize what we have right now, and then we'll go to the details. What we learned over here is counters have a problem. The problem is it's not enough to do Iker because sometimes you put a hot piece of meat or fish onto it. So therefore you need to do Evan Malubin, which means you heat up a brick, and put boiling water on top of that, and the water will boil on the brick. And today, we can use an electric machine like an iron, which will heat up the water, and that's how you're going to do it. But it needs to be every point of the surface of the counter. Now, because gush is a machlokes, and some are mekel, so b'dieved, one could be mekel to do iwi only, just to pour boiling or hot water on the surface. But that's only b'dieved, l'chitchil, it's not advisable. With all that, this only works on surfaces which could do iwi. Only countertops could do iwi. Some countertops, like Formica, it will not work because you can't be machshir them. Anything that has plastic on it, many places can hold, I can do hechshir it. Adding to that also is the point that when you're doing boiling the counter is a very, very tedious job. And if you don't know what you're doing, it's very difficult to get it right. Because you need to have that boiling spot in every spot of the counter. Also, when you fill up the counter with water, the water will spill all over the place. And probably will ruin also your doors and your handles. And it's not the great thing to do. So the Eitzah that most boys can say, I see our force brings it in a safer as well, the easiest thing is, if you're covering the counters, you don't really have to do a hagol. So the easy thing to do is just clean the counters very well so there's no pieces of chametz over there. And then you cover the counters with a thick plastic and you're good for Pesach. And that's all you need to do. And it has, in addition to it, as the many places can bring, it makes also some beauty to Pesach. When the mishpacha goes into the kitchen Pesach, and they see that all the counters are covered. Say, we have a Pesach in the kitchen. So maybe it doesn't look as beautiful as your regular year, but it has the beauty of Yom Tov. Again, just say Eitzah Tova. It's not easy to machshir counters, we mentioned. And therefore, it is kedai very much to just cover the plastic after you clean them. And this is another rule that we have, that anything that you use, any kli that you use with chametz, if you're not going to use them, if you're covering them, as long as you clean them, you're a yaser. So that's the idea with the counters. Before we move on, does anybody have any questions regarding the counters?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Only plastic, or could it be aluminum foil?
It has to be a thick aluminum foil. It could be aluminum foil, but it has to be very thick. The best way in aluminum foil is to have two layers of aluminum foil. Because if you do only one, it's very easy for the heat to go through between the top of the oven to the bottom. You want to have a separation that you're not really using the counters. So it has to be a regular aluminum foil. If you do two layers, that should be good enough.
Right, but otherwise you say plastic.
They sell in the stores like these thick plastics. That makes it better. Yes. Okay, I'm running out of time over here. So with the thing, I will get out of the Zoom and go back right in and continue this year. Okay. I'll get out of here and we'll log in right away. I do it. Okay, so continuing, now that we covered the counters, now really we're going back to learn the what happens with an oven. And this really connects to everything that we spoke before. How do you machsha an oven? So an oven, how do you use an oven? Well, you bake in it. You open the oven and you bake in the oven. Simple and easy. So how do you do hechsher with the oven? Most poskim agree that the way you do hechsher with the oven is you just open the oven to the highest level, because maybe you use it for the highest level, and you leave it on for 45 minutes, and you're yotze the idea of hechsher of the oven. The reason is because, again, kebol lekach polter, the way the oven was used, that's the way that the oven comes out. Using the oven in this way, with just heating it up to the highest level, is considered most poiskim to be a libun kal. Remember, we just learned about libun. Libun chamor means that you're actually using with fire. Libun kal means you're heating it up to a very high level of heat. Libun kal does work when you're talking about, the libun kal does work in an oven, because that's the way you bake the whole year round. So therefore, you can just put the oven to the highest level and do it that way. The poiskim point out that when you have a self-cleaning oven, self-cleaning method in the oven, the self-cleaning brings the heat to even a higher level. And it actually makes the surface of the oven to be so hot that the surface of the oven is considered to be a libun chomer. So when you're doing, if you have a self-cleaning oven, you put the make a cycle of self-cleaning for the oven. Obviously, first of all, clean the oven very well. You put a self-cleaning, that is great, and without your yotze, all the problems that you're doing, your libun chamur and your yotze completely. So again, if you have a self-cleaning oven, you just make the cycle of self-cleaning oven, you have your libun chamur, your machsha the oven, l'chatchil. If it's a regular, you don't have a self-cleaning oven, you just put the oven to the highest level for 45 minutes, and then you're able to do a self-cleaning oven. This is negel, so we'll get in a moment to the countertop. The grates of the countertop are used with fire. So therefore, they require libun chomer. One of the solutions is that you put it into a self-cleaning oven. If you have a self-cleaning oven, because we consider the heat of a self-cleaning oven to be a libun chomer, it comes to the highest level of agola possible. So therefore, you can put the grates that you have on your countertop into the self-cleaning oven as well. Again, if you do not have a self-cleaning oven, just heat up to the highest level of 45 minutes, and that takes care of the oven. Obviously, you have to clean it as well. Going to the countertop. When you have a stove, right? You have a stove, you have the countertop, you have the fire where you cook during the year. So this really connects to what we just spoke about as well. When I have over here, we have here the fire burning. The fire burning is touching the grates. Now, meaning that these metal pieces, which the pot is sitting on top, many times something spills from the pot and goes to these metal base. So the metal vase gets, could be chametz gomer coming from the pot, and you have fire over here, which is boiling it. So therefore, that requires libun chomer, as we just mentioned, and you either put it into a self-cleaning oven, which most poets can agree it's libun chomer, or the other way to do it is you cover the top of the grates with either a blech, like a piece of metal, or a tin foil, and then you heat up the fire to the highest level. You open up the stove and you heat it up to the highest level. What does that do? You have actual fire here burning the grates. So you're doing here a libun chomer. You're mekayim your libun chomer. So therefore, the fire on top of the stove, you just cover it, make sure it's covered. It's not covered, the fire goes up, it doesn't spread. So therefore, you have to cover it either with a blech or with a pot or with a tin foil, and then the fire spreads nicely and it makes all the grates burn. Eitz HaTayiv, I saw, or a force brings it, I heard other people bring it, is make sure when you're doing it, don't put all the fire on your stovetop on one time. Because if you're doing all of them one time, and they're all covered with a blech, they may burn. It may burn each other. And I was someone did it last year in Pesach, it was in Brazil, and it caused a big problem for Shlomo Bais. Because the fire, if the whole thing goes on fire, you don't have a stovetop for Pesach. That could be a big problem. So try to do it one or two at a time, not more than that.
Could you put them in water?
What can you put in water?
Can you take the grates and put them in boiling water?
No, that's not good enough because it needs libun. The grates need fire, not water. Yeah. Putting water, that's only a hagala. So there's not enough to put in the hot water. So either it's a self-cleaning oven, you're actually burning the fire over there. The actual places where the fire come out from, usually chametz doesn't touch there. So there, only by lighting in them, the fire goes up, it already cleans up whatever needs to clean up, and you're good enough. That with that, you're done. The knobs and the other areas which chametz doesn't usually touch just have to be cleaned up very well, because maybe chametz touched them not indirectly, so you just clean up the well. Well, where the issue is, that the place can speak about, is talking about the areas which are on the side, not on the grates themselves, but between the grates. Right? Between the grates, what's called the drip pan. The drip pan where things drip on it, many times chametz drips over there. And it's basically not possible to imagine it. Because how are you going to put real fire over there? So what the place we say to do is just cover that area with a double tin foil throughout the duration of Pesach, so you don't use it. Clean well before, cover it, and that way you're not using in Pesach a place where you use for chametz. One point of burning a stovetop is we talk about the glass stovetops. The what is it? No, the when you have a glass stovetop, the ones that have the electric ones, which were all glass, that's one which is almost impossible to be machshir. If you want, I'll send afterwards to the WhatsApp group what the Star K puts in there.
Well, you have to get the app. You have the app.
What we try to do is, I'll just put it on mute. Anyone wants to ask a question can feel free to jump in. But basically, you put on when you have that glass stovetop, it's very difficult to do action because the main issue is that you can do in between. In between, there's no way to machshir it. The place where you heat up, you just heat it up the same way you do it during the year. But in between, it's very difficult to do it. And even there, the question is, how do you measure where the pot sits on? Because it's flat. The pot goes in, goes out. There's a big issue. Basically, the easy thing is do not use an electric, called a glass electric stovetop. It's very difficult to be machshir, and better not to use it on Pesach. Okay. Any questions about the stovetop? Okay, so the next big issue is that we'll cover is regarding a sink. What do you do with the sink? So, one thing is like this. The sink depends what the sink is made out of. If it's a stainless steel sink, so then you could be machshir, like any other steel, any other metal, you could do extra, as we're going to learn in a moment. If it's not, if it's made out of porcelain or made out of a material which may be using plastic or is involved with any type of glass, we have a problem to machshir. And therefore, an easy way with the sink is just to put an insert. If you put an insert into the sink, so you're not really using the sink doing Pesach. So you just clean up the sink, put the insert, and you're done. Everything is good with the sink. Where you just want to be, the only thing that you're left with is the where the water comes out from. That's the only thing you need to take care of. But the actual sink, if you put an insert, you're good. If the person does want to be master of the sink, in a stainless steel case, so then again, the bottom of the sink, you have the same issue that we have with the counters. The bottom of the sink, you have the issue that sometimes you have a gush that sits on it, which means you have a piece of meat. A lot of times people put pasta on it, and the pasta is boiling hot. You put it on the kli, it's a kli rishon. You need to be master the way you do a kli rishon. So the way you, if you want to use the bottom of the sink in Pesach, is you, again, the same way we talked about a counter. You put in an evan melubon, a boiling brick, or an iron, and you iron the entire surface of the sink. So that, with water, I mean, you put water and then you iron it. So that the water gets boiling hot, and you have your boiling hot, which is the kli rishon, which covers the bottom of the sink. Another, again, easy solution is just to bring, have some, you know, thing you put in the bottom of the sink, you put some elevation, so you don't touch the bottom of the sink, then you don't have to do that. Then you just pour boiling hot water, and you're done. Similarly, you have on the sides of the sink. The side of the sinks, we don't put gush, nobody sticks a piece of meat to it. So therefore, you could just pour in it boiling hot water. The best way to do it is to go from the bottom to the top, because you're going from the top to the bottom, so then there's a chashash, there's chametz coming out and flowing down. So therefore, you want to start from the bottom and pour boiling hot water from the bottom and then go to the top. The bottom going to the top, always using boiling hot water. How do you use always boiling hot water? What is the way to do it? So one way is you just take a, you boil water
The direction doesn't make sense.
Why?
You go from the bottom to the top, and by the time you get to the top, you're taking the chametz from the top, and you're undoing what you just did on the bottom. You always do from the top down when you wash the kalah, because if you wash the bottom and then you go to the top, the dirt from the top goes to the bottom.
I hear. It's a good point. It's a good point what you're saying. I'm trying to remember the reason why everybody gives the eights at the start from the bottom to the top. You're saying, really, if the chametz is coming out, so the minute you get to the top, the chametz is out already. So what is really the solution? Let me think about it a little bit more. I'll get back to regarding that, regarding the bottom to the top. But for some reason, that's the solution. The way to do it is going top to bottom. I mean, bottom to top. Now, just in terms of the reason, we'll get back to that. How do you use a hot boiling pot of water? What do you do? So one way is you use an urn. You take the urn, you boil it, and then you start doing it. The problem is, again, that's very tedious because the urn can cover only a certain amount of area in the sink. Not only that, you have to make sure that the water is boiling. So you use the urn, and then after the first few seconds, maybe the water is not boiling anymore, you have to boil it again. So the better way is to take a hot pot straight from the fire and put it into on the kli. You boil the water is boiling, and you put it into the sink. Again, a little difficult to do with a very large pot. So one eitzah or a force brings it in a sefer, a very easy eitzah, is you take a large pot and you boil water. Then you take out of the large pot a small pot. Now the small pot taking out from the large pot doesn't have a din of kli rishon because that was not on the fire. That was just taking out of the fire. So then the best way to do it is that small pot, you leave two burners on. One burner has a very large pot, which is boiling water the whole time. The second burner, you take a small pot, and you fill it up water from the large pot, and you put that second small pot on the second burner for just a few seconds. What does that do? These few seconds just boil the small pot for a moment. Then you take that small pot and you put it on the sink. So that's how you can do that very quickly. You take they have a lot of water from the big pot, put it in the small pot, then you put it in the sink. Again, if you're doing, you can do the entire sink that way. And then unless you are using the bottom of the sink, which on Pesach, and you don't have anything that elevates it. So again, you can use the same method. If you want to use the bottom of the sink, then you have to actually have an evan melubin, which is that hot brick, or you have to have the iron, which iron the bottom of the sink. We do have the thing that when you speak about the spout, you speak about where the water comes out from, also you should pour hot water into it. The best etzet to do is to open the sink, open the water, very hot water coming out. So when the hot water coming out, that's basically cleaning the inside of the spout. And you put, then you pour boiling hot water on top of that, that's how you do it. Again, going back to the original cloning that we said, what's the reason, well, everything is kibbolah kachpoter. How did hot water come out, how do we use chometz with the spout? Because maybe something was poured from it on top of it. So therefore, when you have the cake, when you have when you're pouring hot boiling water on top of the spout, you are yotzei d'din. Okay, so I think we covered the basic things we have over here. Some other things are, for example, a microwave. A microwave, the issue with the microwave is, if a microwave has any piece of glass, it's a problem to machsher it. If it uses plastic, many microwaves have plastic, the Ramosha holds a plastic, you can't be machsher. I saw that Rav Schechter brought a send out recently in the, he sent out a few halachas regarding the current situation, the corona, where we have to be mekel. That he brought, he says that you could be soymech on plastic to be machsher if you need to. So therefore, if someone wants to do it, ask your rav exactly how to do it. But according to Ramosha, you can't really be machsher plastic. That's why many say not to be machsher microwave. Similarly, we talk about a dishwasher. A dishwasher uses areas with plastic in it. And sometimes there's glass. And therefore, if you machsher a dishwasher, it can be a problem because of the issue of machsher plastic. Again, Rav Schechter said that you could do it, and he brings that dishwasher, if you do it one cycle, you actually could machsher it. So this is where you come into these type of issues. We'll just end with the table that you eat on it. Really, mikar din a table, you could do irui, you could just pour hot water on it, because you never, usually you don't put a gush, you don't put a piece of meat on the table. Very rare to do it. If people do have it, sometimes a person says, yeah, I know, in my house, you put pieces of meat on the table, directly on the table. So then you have to do the iron situation as well on the table. But the minig is that the place where you're eating from, you don't use it directly. You put a plastic in it throughout the duration of Pesach, that you should not touch the actual surface, even though you could be machsher. But that's the minig, because you're actually eating on it, eating in matzah, eating in maror. You want to make a separation from the place where you're eating chametz throughout the year, so you do put a plastic on it to cover it and to separate that from the regular area of the year. That's the minig that we do with a table. Okay, I think we'll stop over here. If anybody has any specific questions, we'll open it for questions right now. And if not, we will end over here. And Beis Hashem, everybody, so we'll continue next week.
Hang on. Yeah. 1 second, I have a question.
Sure.
You said 2 layers of aluminum foil on the areas between the burners and the stove. And in general, we've been doing for all these years just one, but taking the extra thick.
The extra thick
aluminum foil.
So the extra thick is good. What I meant, when I said two, I meant when you talk about a thin aluminum foil. The extra thick is good enough, or two very thin ones.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Shkar. Thank you for the share.
Okay, call to Rabbi. So next week, Beis Hashem, we'll discuss the halachas of the Seder.
Thank you.
Call to Uv. Have a good week. Keep safe.
Every year.